The greatest luxury adventures on earth. Abercrombie & Kent.
Robot Building Supplies. They've got it and deliver. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Terry Wallace about to join me to talk a little bit of footy, believe it or not. Look forward to having a chat to Terry Wallace and maybe get a bit of a distraction myself from reality and just talk a little bit of what might happen with footy when it does resume. Matt Keenan is also going to join me, the voice of cycling in this country and in many countries of the world. He's in self-isolation, having just come back from overseas. I presume he's got his stationary bike. He's got Zwift going. I think he's a Giant bike rider as well, Matt Keenan. And I think Giant has sponsored the Breakfast Boys, Tim and Gary, with a couple of Giant bikes so they can get out and have their bike ride to get some exercise. We'll speak to Matty Keenan, who's not allowed out to ride, but he will be soon, and I'm sure he's going to let loose. Although he won't ride in packs. Talked about it yesterday. He suggested that you go and ride alone, that hospitals don't want to be filled with some people being skittled when the peloton goes down. Golf changes. What's happening at your club? Had a few calls on it before Terry Wallace. Nick, welcome to you, Nick.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, just with the Bunbury Golf Club down here, we've just changed to electronic scorecards and also removed all the rakes, so we've got less chance of any contagious sort of stuff going on there.
So you just have the app on your phone and you do your scoring on your own phone?
Yeah. So you use your own phone and then upload it when you get there. I haven't used it yet. I've just downloaded it this morning. And, hopefully on Thursday I'll be able to get out and use it.
So solo golf only? So one person teeing off and on the hole at a time? Or are you allowed to go and play with your son, for example?
No, you're allowed to go and play with other people at the moment. I haven't had any updated emails on that changing, but
Fair call. I just wanted to get an update, and that's exactly what you've given me. I really appreciate you doing that, Nick, because everyone's a little different out there as to what they think they should and shouldn't be allowed to do. And I'll read you one text just in that regard. Where are we here? I'll try and find it in a second just to go through all your speckled texts, but just about whether playing golf is a non-essential activity or not. And I think it is essential for some people to be able to get out and have some exercise. And so, yes, driving your car to a non-essential activity is not something to be encouraged. But there are a lot of older people who are desperate to get out and have a walk. And their golf is their opportunity to let their mind wander and ease the problems of their day. So whether or not golf should be allowed or not, that's another thing for debate. We debated it earlier. There's racing going on at Geelong today. The Dogs are running tonight. There's no footy, though. And Terry Wallace is going to join me to talk a bit of no footy. 1300 736 736, by the way, if you'd like to join me on the Werribee Kia open line. 1300 736 736. Still open for business at Werribee Kia, so drop down and see Janan and the team and tell them we sent you. The top dollar paid for all trade-ins down at Werribee Kia. Terry, welcome to you. Thanks for joining me again today.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. How are you going? There's a little bit of space between us today. Now, last week, I was up on the fifth floor and you were down on the... you were at home. Now I'm at home and you're at home. So you're one side of Melbourne and I'm certainly the other side. So a bit of space between us.
Absolutely. And Terry Wallace for Duncan Thompson Extensions, from concept to completion, duncanthompson.com.au. Terry, what are you doing? You love your exercise. Are you going for solo jogs? Have you got someone from your family you jog with? What are you doing to keep yourself sane?
I've already been out today, so I've got a home gym, so I can look after things from that point of view. And where I go sort of for my exercise is only kangaroos, rabbits and cows, so I'm pretty safe to be away. I go individually, go by myself, so I'm pretty safe to be away from most of human civilization, so all is good this end.
I'm in a spot where I saw a couple of guys going for a surf. So some people will still do their regular thing and get out there and clear their head. How much of a head clearer was it for you today?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I mean, exercise for me has always been about, as much as anything else, your health and that is one part of it. But stress levels. I always thought that by getting out and exercising, it always sort of calms you down. And everyone at the moment is sort of thinking, how are my finances going? And what will it look like? What's happening here, there? How's the health situation? How are we looking after family members? Both, I've got a new granddaughter, first one in the Wallace household. So, making sure that she's safely at the other end of the scale. My wife's parents are in their 80s. So, all those sort of things. So getting out and doing some exercise sometimes just levels you down and calms you down a little bit and allows you to get on with your life.
Yeah, I think the Britain PM Boris Johnson, there's different regulations now in Europe. Outside groups of only two in some parts of Europe. You can shop once a week only in some places as well. But the ruling is people are allowed outside for one form of exercise per day. So I think that is a realisation that is as difficult as it is in many parts of the world right now. If you can allow your general public, your population, to have one form of exercise per day, it's good for their health.
Yeah, I would say that's absolutely right. I mean, look, if there comes a time that that's not the case and it's not allowable, we'll deal with that at the time. And I think most people are sensible enough to sort of, if the guidelines come down, I mean, you'll always have some that will try to sort of stretch them as much as they can. But I think most people realise now the seriousness of this situation, how it's ramped up in so many different countries that, we've got to take it that way.
It's going to change football forever, Terry, whether we get football back in June, July, August or September or wherever this year, if we're lucky, or if it just comes back for 2021, if we're lucky. What do you think will change forever, do you think? I think I've talked about Alistair Clarkson's comments earlier. I don't know if you picked up on them as much as I did when he spoke on Gary and Tim's program a couple of weeks ago. I'll play it to you. He thinks that the winding back of professionalism might be the next thing to happen. He said that in response to seeing how his players responded to helping the community after the fires. He didn't say that in reaction to the coronavirus, but his words ring true. Let me play them to you if you can. Here's Alistair Clarkson on the impact of professionalism on footy, and maybe we've got too distant from reality.
The whole game itself has become too anal in terms of the professionalism of the game. You know, whether it's to do with just a little thing like taking some time off to go and help others like we did, or even in terms of the whole work-life balance. You know, I've been one of the coaches and one of the clubs probably that's been driving the professionalism of the game for a long period of time. I'm not doing that on my own. Every coach is doing it. Every club's doing it. But, I've been really pushing hard that, our next little edge will come in finding something to do with the game plan so we travel a lot, or finding something to do with, something to do with fitness or strength, or find a little edge somewhere. But in actual fact, searching more and more for this professionalism, we're just taking ourselves away from the reality of life and the balance of that.
Sort of went through unnoticed when he said that, because he went on to talk about his no bugger can score thought about defence, but he's pretty much on the money, and it echoes pretty true now, Terry.
Well, he's got a step ahead most of the journey, and that was a step ahead again with the circumstances that have arisen. I did hear that interview, but since then, I mean, things have just absolutely plummeted out of control in the footy industry. So he was right on the money. And look, what will happen is everything's going to be geared backwards, and there will be less individuals employed in the system. I have no doubt that that's the case. How many it gets pared back by? Well, that's still in the lap of the gods at this stage. But I certainly think the 2021 model will certainly be a lot more streamlined than what it has been over the last few years.
And player-wise, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with a year out of the game or 4 or 5 months not playing at all. Terry, you were a great coach and a superstar as a player, and you saw the differences we all kind of see, whether it's at a junior club or a local club or at a professional club, the difference between the self-motivators and those that aren't. It's going to be interesting to see who comes back ready to go and who doesn't.
Well, let's put one of the stars in the game just into that spotlight just for a second. Jordan Dugowie, for example. So Jordan has his time off, and he was the first to admit that he didn't come back in absolutely fantastic shape, but had the time and the capabilities of being able to get himself organised. And, you know, he confessed to the fact that he sort of said, well, you know, I think that time off purely is time to enjoy yourself. How they handle this time off will be really interesting. You know, Jordan Dugowie get to the stage where he relaxes a little more than perhaps what a Scotty Pendlebury would? Or is he, because it's still in season time, even though they've got time off, is he, you know, a little bit more disciplined than that? Because you wouldn't want, and I'm just using him as the example because he put his own hand up over the, and it was the off-season, and said that that was the case. You can't afford to have that type of player, or in fact, any of your players that you think are going to be at the level, but coming back not in, in the shape. And let's face it, they're going to have enough time off that if they don't do things right, there'll be a difference between the haves and the have-nots.
And some clubs are going to be better at keeping their players motivated than others?
Oh, look, there's always a difference. I mean, I think that that gap has changed a little bit over a period of time where, you know, all the clubs are so professional now that I think between those who do it really well and those who do it not, you know, not quite as well, I think that gap has certainly closed up over the years. And yeah, there's been enough transference of people from one club to another. And I'm talking about the sports science guys now, the strength and conditioning guys. But enough transference from one club to another that most have got a handle on, you know, best practice methods around the place. So yeah, that'll be really interesting. The other factor that I think will be really interesting is just the coaching aspect. How many coaches will there be? What impact will that have? I get the sense that less coaches, Dwayne, will impact individuals more than what it actually impacts the team. And I go back to team strategy, and I reckon team strategy really ramped up or really got going about around the 2000 mark when players become professional. Yeah, coaches were professional, had more time to sort of spend on looking at strategies. And then it took a giant leap in 2008, and we were just, you know, listening to Clarko. It was around that stage that I thought, you know, the whole thing through him and Ross Lyon and a few others, it took a massive leap forward about defensive grids and the way that the game was being played. I think at that stage, I was at Richmond at that stage, I would have thought we would have had about four assistant coaches in place. Maybe a Hawthorn or a St Kilda at that time might have had a few more, but not many more than that. So I can see it sort of almost pairing back to, you know, that sort of number, or yeah, let's call it a half a dozen just for the sake of it. So I don't think, I mean, the strategies from a team point of view are still able to work at that stage. So I don't think it'll have major impact on the team strategies, but where I think it really will impact is on the individuals. You think of a tennis player. A tennis player has one-on-one, he has one coach one-on-one with him. If the same tennis player had, or the coach had, 6 to 8 people that they had to look after, would that individual tennis player get the treatment that he really sort of needs? And I think that will be the thing that will happen with the development. Can we impact the development as quickly without as many coaches? Can you fast-track players as quick? I think that'll be the area that I just think it might really change it up a bit.
Terry Wallace joining me for Duncan Thompson Extensions, from concept to completion. DuncanThompson.com.au. We're passionate about quality workmanship and design. Terry, when we do resume, so, you know, best-case scenario, we resume and we get this environment where we might play multiple games within an 8 or 9 day space with a team playing 2 games. I want to ask you watch a lot of NBA. Their season is structured so they don't train. They just go from city to city. They might play 3 games in 3 days and then have 2 days off because they've worked out that that's the maximum games they can get into that short space of time, because training in essence is a wasted day of effort. How many days separating games would an AFL player be able to cope with, do you think, if we tried to jam a heap of games into 3 weeks or 2 weeks?
Well, we've seen, and the multiplication effect will have impact, but we've seen, you know, teams be able to play, say, on a Saturday and then rock up for Anzac Day on a Wednesday and handle that reasonably okay. So I'm sort of suggesting around that 4 to 5 day break, providing that the players know what's coming and, you know, we have these shorter quarters at the moment as well, I think that they'll handle that okay. Once again, the multiplication of games, you know, by the time you're doing that for the fourth game in a row, that may have some sort of impact on the players by that sort of stage. But they'll adapt. They'll adapt and adjust as EPL has, and you just mentioned the NBA. They've all been able to adapt and adjust to the fixturing. So I think our boys will do exactly the same. And I get the sense that you're exactly right. It'll be all about just studying what happened the previous game, looking forward to, you know, doing your analysis on the opposition for the next game and recovering. And that will be pretty much what you'll get. So, you know, your practice will be in-game. And that'll be really how it plays out. For some players, I think they'll absolutely love that. I don't know about you, Dwayne, but I was loved the games, and you know, in between the training sessions, just got in the way until we could play our next. You know, you had the opportunity to play your next game, so I'm sensing that some players will actually really like the change up.
Yeah, and a list with depth as well, because you might have to, you know, rotate players through as well. It's going to be fascinating to see how it does end up coming back when it does come back. Terry Wallace sticking around. A few more questions to throw at Terry. If you've got one, 1300 736 736 is the number, 1300 736 736. Dwayne's World for Robot Building Supplies. They've got it at Robot Building Supplies, and they deliver. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au is where you can check out how you can get it delivered to you and the greatest luxury adventures on earth at Abercrombie and Kent. Stick around, more to come.
For the first time, Craig, I'm legitimately concerned about that. Talking to
people... Are you worried about mergers as well in this?
Yep, I think that's absolutely not something we can discount anymore. I look at Gold Coast and GWS and wonder about their future. One CEO said to me today was the worst day of my life. A club president said to me, I'm on the phone every half hour with a hookup and people are asking me questions and I have no answers.
A little bit of Caroline Wilson and Hutchie last night on Footy Classified. Will footy come back with 18 teams? Will it come back with mergers if it comes back in 2021 and we get no 2020? Margot's on the line to talk about that with Terry Wallace and I. Welcome to you, Margot.
Yes, hello, Dwayne. Listen, I think we should use this, us Aussie rules lovers, should use this hiatus period as a time of positivity. And I'm really thinking about culling. We've got extra dross that we really don't need. North Melbourne and the Gold Coast should possibly amalgamate and go to Darwin, because the government of the Northern Territory recently said they will financially support an AFL team. There is huge Aussie rules support, Dwayne and Terry, in Alice Springs. It's absolutely enormous at a foundational level. I'm not sure about Darwin. I think it is at Darwin too, but it's huge at Alice Springs. And the NT government said that they, you know, want to financially get into it with us.
Margot, interesting call. It's something that we fear, Terry, and it's going to be talked about a lot. In fact, before we talk about it, here's Mark Brayshaw on his worries, and he raised North Melbourne, his old club.
But I can tell you the coaching ranks are all worried about the smaller clubs and making sure we get 18. Next year is, you know, is always top of their thinking, and I share that concern. I mean, I had, you know, I've got, obviously, I have a, well, not obviously, people may have forgotten this, but I have a brief and inglorious career at North Melbourne, and I'm fearful of a small club like the Kangas and how they'll manage it, and I think everybody is. So, you know, we are going to need all that goodwill and more, together with some really insightful, clever leadership, which we're fortunate to have, to get our way through it. But I, the listeners should be aware that the coaches are leading, in my view, really well, economically and also internally and externally, as we've heard. So we're in good hands.
Mark Brayshaw, the Coaches Association CEO, talking about his club, North Melbourne. Terry, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, the one thing I'll sort of say first up is North Melbourne people sort of say, why always us? You know, like it seems to always be us in the gun barrel, and I really do feel for them. Look, I've had two of my clubs that have been involved in merger discussions in the past, and it has just gone horrible for on both occasions. And that was obviously the Hawthorn and Melbourne merger. I mean, it ruined friendships for life for some people within the footy club ranks. And, you know, obviously the passion that was there from a Hawthorn point of view in particular stopped it from happening. And then obviously the Bulldogs, or Footscray as it was at the time, with Fitzroy, and how that sort of flipped around, looked like it was going to happen, and then flipped back around. So I just don't think the merger of our established sides works. I think, to be honest, I think as bad as what it sounds, I'd rather shut the doors than try to get two cultures and jam the two cultures to together. I mean, do everything in our powers to try to make sure that the clubs can survive alone. And if they can't, and they need to shut the doors, well, I mean, as much of a shame as that is, I just don't think the mergers work.
Yeah, I think North Melbourne was talked about a little bit on Gerard Whateley's show, almost by accident, because Mark Brayshaw, it was his old club, and Mark Brayshaw was on as the CEO of North Melbourne. And then Ben Amalfio was already programmed to talk today to Gerard Whateley. So you had that North Melbourne situation being a nutshell of the loss of money situation. So that's why probably North Melbourne got mentioned more than ever. We had a few North Melbourne texts as well saying that, you know, North could go or whatever, but I didn't read them out because I thought, you know, at this time, I think that the AFL would be desperate, absolutely desperate, to try and keep all 18 clubs and try and keep them in some form. And, you know, there's this last in, first served kind of mentality with a lot of people on the text as well at the moment, saying that anything goes, it's the Gold Coast or the Giants or both. By the way, Terry Wallace joining us. Great to have him on the line. And Terry, just needed to let everybody know that we talked about it earlier with Macca's and their involvement. Macca's recognises that those in the healthcare system are working tirelessly to look after each other and their loved ones at the moment. So to say thanks, Macca's are shouting any healthcare workers a free small McCafe hot drink or a medium soft drink until the 17th of May. So one of our sponsors here on this program, Macca's, doing a little bit of their best stuff as well. It's footy golf time. Before I let you go, Terry, let's play the opener.
He hit 16. Listen to the crowd.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
Lambert with a setup kick for Revolt. This is it.
Have you seen anything like that?
Fontapelli, the future star, the present star, steady.
Oh! Your footy golf for round one, Terry, before we let you head off on into your home gym. I presume you haven't got the sleep anymore.
Well, Dwayne, look, I know you've got to get the news as well, so I'll be as brief as well I possibly can. They're all back in the clubhouse now, but you know, we still need to sort of see how that first hole went, and hopefully they'll be coming out of the clubhouse at some stage, so we'll need this up and running. Going back to last Thursday night, Richmond and Carlton, a par for both clubs, about the scoreline that was expected in that particular game. The Bulldogs and Collingwood, unfortunately for the Bulldogs, the first triple bogey of the year. Very, very ordinary performance by them, and an eagle for the Pies, and jumped out in fine form. Essendon and Fremantle played par golf at Marvel Stadium on Saturday afternoon, whilst Adelaide, a double bogey because it was a home winnable game, and Sydney, a birdie for an away win. Well done to the Swannies. Gold Coast and Port Adelaide on Saturday night. Port Adelaide got a birdie for their efforts. Now, he should win against the side that was a wooden spooner, but the Gold Coast forgot to turn up on their home deck. They got a triple bogey along with the Bulldogs. GWS Giants on Saturday night, I thought the game was a really good quality game. GWS got a birdie for their efforts. Geelong a bogey, but if I could say, it was a reasonable bogey. Just lipped out at the last second. I thought they were okay, Geelong. North Melbourne and St Kilda on the weekend. If I could have given North Melbourne more for just their meritorious effort, I would, but it's a birdie performance for them, and St Kilda a bogey. Lost a game that they should have in their keeping. Hawthorn got an eagle for a fantastic win over a side that finished second last year. Brisbane a double bogey in that particular game. Disappointing. I hope they don't do a Melbourne on us. from last year. West Coast a birdie and Melbourne a bogey in the final game. So that has, on our leaderboard, two sides. I've got two outright leaders in Collingwood and Hawthorn. And then at the far end in the overs column, the worst two. You don't want to be starting with a triple bogey for the Bulldogs and the Gold Coast.
Great work, Terry. Hey, before I let you go, we both saw some really good kids on the weekend. Time to look at the MEGT Rookie of the Week votes. MEGT, your local apprenticeship experts. Who did you like the most?
Yeah, I'll bang them out there. Just how this works for MEGT. You do so much great work with apprentices and rookies. Now they need more guidance than ever. What happens is the special comments people nominate each week one player from each game. I get the 9 nominations and then give them into a 5-4-3-2-1 order. My one vote this week went to the number 2 from Brisbane, Devin Robinson. He's the new boy that's a nephew of Darren Glass. My two votes went to Matty Rao, number 18 at the Gold Coast, at a 19-possession game, a really good game for his first game of AFL footy. My three votes went to Kasiah Pickett, the number 36 at the Melbourne Footy Club. Even though they were doing it hard over in Perth, 11 possession, couple of goals. He shows some really nice signs. My four votes went to Tyler Brown, the number 6 at Collingwood. Obviously, son of a gun. 16 disposals. I thought he was in and under for everything. And they played a fantastic game first up. And my five votes went to the number 27 at Fremantle, Sam Sturt. 3-goal performance, you know, playing on a guy like Michael Hurley and, you know, really sort of giving him a hard time. I thought, he showed some brilliant signs. So some really good young kids. They're the votes for this time around. Once again, hopefully we'll be able to get into them later in the year.
Great to have you, Terry. And Sam Sturt's game was sensational. Nearly got them there. Thanks a lot for your time and we'll talk again soon. Stay safe.
Good on you, Dwayne. Cheers.
Terry Wallace joining us in that. MEG Rookie of the Week will continue right throughout the season when it resumes. MEGT supporting employers and apprentices for over 35 years. A break. Going to take some more of your calls. 1-300-736-736. And Matty Keenan is going to join me. The voice of cycling in many countries of the world, including ours. He's in self-isolation. We'll see if he's on the bike.